listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to the Easter slash Passover edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt Wilhelm, your host for today, joined by the Kid in the Dog Bowl and Dave DiNatale back at the Galleria Studios. We've got one caller on hold, and we will knock him out right now.
Jimmy is in Brunswick. Jim, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, man. How are you?
Hey, Jim O'Neill, he's like that typical defensive coordinator, you know, like gets all fired up, kind of guy you'd like to have.
Absolutely.
Know, back with your guys. But here's what I want to ask you, Matt, just a question, I guess. I know if you're a coach coming into a situation, you have the personnel you have and you have to run a type of defense, maybe that's what you have. But say starting off from scratch and everything is even, do you particularly like a 4-3 or a 3-4 scheme? And my opinion, I like a 4-3 in today's NFL because you're running so many nickel coverages now, bringing so many defensive backs in. You're keeping those four linemen, you know, rotating them, but they're getting after the passer and they can protect the run. I know the 3-4 was in vogue there for a while with the Steelers, and you know, they had the great linebackers, but it's so much predicated on pressure on the quarterback, which I know that's a huge thing, but, I mean, you got to be able to cover guys. And to me, I like the 4-3, but I'd like to hear your opinion.
You know, my bias is to the 3-4 simply because I played in it 7 of the 8 years in the National Football League. And but you're absolutely right in your comment saying that so much time is spent in a nickel or dime defense that – you're in a four-down look where guys have their hands on the ground and you're forced to cover because that is today's NFL. Who does it best in my eyes is like a hybrid version of this. There's two teams out there. One, in watching the Cleveland Browns last year, because as Jim O'Neill said yesterday, and I kind of, you know, laughed and chuckled about it, is they play so many fronts and there's so many packages, which is great because you keep bodies fresh. And more so than anything, they're playing in a position, you know, that suits them perfectly, as opposed to a guy playing, I'm really a three technique, but I'm going to play in a five in this package simply because I'm healthy or so-and-so, you know, got banged up and I'm playing a little bit out of position, but I can still do it adequately. That's not what we need to do. We have the defensive front, especially if we add to the front this year to be as talented as we need to do. But the Cleveland Browns do it very well, where we have the ability to still cover and still bring in exotic type pressure. But the one coordinator that I played for in my career, two, we got really good in San Diego with Wade Phillips, who is now in Denver. So I wouldn't be surprised if Von Miller goes for 20-plus sacks. He might have 25. He's just that good. But the other coordinator that did it extremely well is Dom Capers, you know, with the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. And so we hope that Tremont Williams brings some of that swagger and his experience in both playing, you know, off, playing zone coverages. And almost to his point, A.J. Hawk became a casualty of the point that he was trying to make about a 4-3, you know, or 3-4 versus nickel, is A.J. Hawk was a base or, you know, a 3-4 situation linebacker. And Green Bay played so little of their base defense because they were always in a hybrid, you know, defense, which A.J. was not a part of, and or nickel and dime, that A.J. Hawk was, you know, playing 10, 12 snaps a game, making $3-4 million.
I think you left out the ultimate defensive coordinator.
Who did I leave out?
Belichick.
Who?
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 The greatest defensive mind, the greatest football mind in history.
You're right, and I'll give you this to his credit. I've never played for Bill, so I'm only referencing coaches that I know of personally and have played for, but I will give Bill his credit because I think over the years, as good as Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have been together, he has done the most defensively with the least that I've seen of anybody in the last decade of football.
Yeah, and what people forget is,
I mean, Rob Ninkovich, you know? I mean, come on. And they talk about it. And Rob Ninkovich is like a phenomenon, you know, in New England, in that Boston area, because of the guy that he is, the motor that he has. It's not like he's a double-digit sack guy every single year. He's got a high motor, and he fits that Patriot way so well.
What about Vrabel back in the day? And he, going back even further,
Brewski wasn't even that good.
Still, the greatest defensive game plan that I've ever seen as a fan was when the New York Giants beat the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl with the K-gun offense, that Belichick let them run up and down the field. And he said, we're going to let them go up and down the field. And granted, they got lucky to win that the kicker missed a field goal. But Buffalo was way more talented than the Giants that year. That championship was all Bill Belichick.
You're right. I mean, I can't say anything about it. Wouldn't we just have loved to have Bill Belichick start that career here in Cleveland and be, you know, 20 years running?
Well, you know what? The revisionist history here, people, everybody hates Bill Belichick, but he was building a winning program here. The Browns were a good team, and the Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl championship team was the foundation, was built by Belichick. So, you know, there's a little bit, yeah, his record wasn't that great, but the year before they left, 11-5, and I believe it was the last time
they hosted a playoff game.
Won a playoff game. We beat Parcells' play. I was a senior in college, I remember. We beat Parcells. I was in New York.
You can't be that old. Come on.
I am that old. I'm an old man. That I remember watching that in New York City, the Browns beating the Patriots in that playoff game. I can remember exactly where I was sitting, the whole thing, and it was Belichick. And, you know, I think that sometimes gets lost in the wash because how good their teams are now offensively.
No, I definitely. And you're right.
Did you play a 3-4 in college also?
No, 4-3. But the 4-3 in college was a watered-down version of what the NFL does, to be honest with you. It's a different game because, looking at this field, the hashes are so wide. The wide side of the field is – in most cases where teams are going to go because they're not talented enough to run things into the boundary because, you know, you're working in a phone booth when you do. So you're playing tendency so hard. And all we did, it's like all we brought was field zone blitzes. So we had a line strong to the field and we'd bring a zone blitz from the field because 75% of the time your play is run either a run play or a pass play to the strong side, which is the field. Would you rather work with more space or less from as an offense?
And you guys, and probably – at least your last couple of years, you had to have a lot more talent than most of the teams you were playing.
Oh, especially in the Big Ten, yes. There was, Larry Johnson was a running back. We played at Penn State. Who was the running? Michael Bennett at Wisconsin was another good runner. But absolutely, top to bottom. And I think, I know my year we had 6 drafted off the national championship team, and then the next year they had 13 drafted. Wow. So that next class that Tressel had, there's a John Cooper class too, was very talented.
So what happened? I don't remember. What were 2003? What did the Buckeyes do?
They ended up losing. They lost to Wisconsin, and I think
they lost at Michigan.
And lost at Michigan, but then still played in a BCS game, right?
That might be the last time we won the game.
But they beat Kansas State.
Correct.
In the Fiesta Bowl.
I was in Vegas watching that game.
Yeah. Here's a question that you talked earlier, Matt, about. The Tampa Bay, Mark Dominick's experience.
Yes.
Did you guys feel the presence of NFL scouts sometimes on a week to week basis or whatever at practice? Coach Cooper or obviously Coach Tressel, talking to people while you guys are practicing or things like that?
Yes. And that's the one thing that, actually kind of made practice not so fun. Is I was a practice guy because I wanted an opportunity to go out and get better. As cliche as that is, and as some people probably roll in their eyes at that point, but anytime there you saw an NFL logo when you were in your junior year or your senior year, you knew in some cases they may be there to watch you. And when you're going through bag drills and a day that you're a little lackadaisical and going through a little lazy and you're stepping on a bag and you kind of trip, if those guys are standing here, there, you think you immediately look over and it's like, oh, they're writing something down. It's got to be bad, So in some cases, it made it a nerve-wracking process for when they were at practice. But otherwise, I'd rather have them standing at a distance and let me go do my thing and not knowing until after. And then I go, did I mess up? Did I have a good practice? I thought I had a good practice. And then, all in all, it really didn't matter because you knew you're going to get your opportunity to show them, what you did in that senior season, mm-hmm. which would, of course, put a exclamation point on your career and then have the combine and pro day as well.
What was the big differences? Totally off the subject, but what was the differences between Cooper and Tressel? Clearly it was the same type of players. Cooper was successful, but he couldn't win the big ones. Was there a discernible difference between the way they coached?
Yes. And the best way to explain it is Cooper was the head coach who had, and this is not the discount, any. Cooper was the dictator, but had amazing assistant coaches who did 95% of the coaching, but he made the decisions. Whereas Jim Tressel went out and brought amazing, young, up-and-coming coaches with him, a lot of them that came through that Youngstown State pipeline, either with him there as a coach or players that were then coaching it coached at other places that he brought to Ohio State. Example, Mark D'Antonio, another example, Mark Snyder, who's gone on to be defensive coordinator at multiple places. D'Antonio has been a head coach at Cincinnati and Michigan State as well. And they were just so much more hands-on and Jim Tressel more so than anything, Jim Tressel put an emphasis on every single aspect of your life, where John Cooper put an aspect on, an emphasis on football. It was win. It was win. And to be very honest with you, was a lot of the reason why I went to Ohio State and what weighed my decision were three things. And in some cases, it might have been this order. It was make it to the NFL, win a national championship, get my education. And when it came to Jim Tressel taking over, the emphasis totally flipped. It was get your education, win a national championship, make it to the NFL. Maybe. You know, but it was all about your teammates. It was about you as an individual. And that's why today, for anybody that's ever come in contact with Jim Tressel at any point, and I hear these stories all the time, it's John Cooper. I could walk up to John Cooper right now, and he may not know who I am.
Really?
I swear to you.
Even after that recruiting story?
Yes.
Tell the audience that story about what finally sealed it for you to go to Ohio State.
So in a brief story here before we grab our break and then we hit the Friday forecast, I was the decision came down to Ohio State and Michigan. How could it not? Michigan's pumping guys in the NFL. They're competing for a national championship. Just won a national championship. Of course, a great school. Ohio State's doing the same. Katzenmoyer, David Boston, you know, the loss to Michigan State, the Sugar Bowl win is all – as a part of my recruiting process. So it was a great time to be recruited. And I went to the spring game. Lloyd Carr, out of 200 recruits at the Michigan spring game, Lloyd Carr grabs me. We walk out to the M in the middle of, what's it called again?
The big house?
Outhouse? Out? and Lloyd Carr walks me out. And at that time, Michigan had been heavy on me, but they hadn't offered me yet. And he walks out, he goes, he's like, I brought you out here to single you out to offer you a scholarship to come to the University of Michigan. And I just, you know, and I, of course, taken aback. I was humbled. And I said, you know what, coach? I said, you're near the top of my list. I said, give me 7 days and I'll give you an answer. So I come home. Of course, my mom and dad are crying. They're enamored. Oh, how great would it be? La, 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 la. My dad literally has the Michigan fight song, like, you know, as his ringtone on his like old cell phone. He's playing it in the house, you know, thinking I'm going to go to Michigan. I go to Ohio State the next weekend. That's why I said 7 days. 7 days from that Saturday was the Ohio State spring game. And I go to the spring game. I walk in. You know, Doss was already committed out of Canton McKinley. Krenzel, I think, was committed out of, out of Michigan. And so I'm there. You know, Doss is putting heat on me. And then Fred Pugich walks in. Fred Pugich is a defensive coordinator. He now coaches in the National Football League and has been for a long time. His son was a part of that recruiting class at Ohio State from Dublin Kaufman High School. And he walks over. He goes, how you doing? He's like, I'm doing good. He goes, where you been the last 7 days? He goes, you haven't texted me back. You haven't answered my phone calls. And I'm just like, I was like scared. I was honestly scared. As a 17 year old, I was scared. So he's like, hey, come for a walk with me. So we walk. He literally gets me in this corner. And he puts his like forearm in my throat and he starts dog cussing me up and down about, you know, why would I ever leave the state of Ohio? I'm never going to be able to come back. If I become a business owner, no one will want to, you know, come to my business having gone to Michigan. And he just dog cusses me up and down, literally scares the bejesus out of me. I turn around and literally power walk about 20 yards over to Coach Cooper. I'm like, Coach, I want to be a Buckeye, you know, and I committed to be a Buckeye at that point. So I got scared into being a Buckeye. But again, looking back, what a great career. So there's my story. We're a couple minutes past our break. We're going to grab a break right now. When we come back, we're going to do the Friday forecast. So the kid will join us here, as he always does and has been all show long, for the Friday forecast. Dave DiNatale will weigh in as well. We'll be interested to see what questions we have. Matt Wilhelm, the kid, Dave DiNatale on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.